Turn with me to Joshua chapter 20. Pretty short chapter. Still very important. Joshua chapter 20, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side Jordan by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood, until he stood before the congregation. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. This is indeed a very interesting chapter. What it does is it sets forth the command of God by the hand of Moses before they had actually moved into the land, that they would set up these cities of refuge. And again, the city of refuge was for those who had slain someone unwittingly, without malice aforethought, without lying in wait, and without hatred in their heart aforetime. The example that's given from Moses is, let's say you're chopping with an axe, and the head of the axe flies off of the handle of the axe and hits your brother, you know, brains him, hits him in the head, and cuts his head open so that he dies, so that he is killed in the field. At that point, the avenger of blood has all authority to come and take your life, unless you flee to the city of refuge and you make your case before the elders and before the congregation of that city, that is the Knesset, the judgment, the elders coming together in judgment of that city, who were charged with either receiving you or rejecting you. And so you came to the gate of the city, you pleaded your cause, you're brought in. It looks like from this passage there was a subsequent trial. And if there were a number of witnesses that rose up against you and said, no, you know, I heard him say several times that he hated this man and he wanted to kill him. Your plea about the axe having slipped off the helve may not obtain. But if someone did kill unwittingly, and remember that what we see here is that accidental killing is still an assault upon the nature of God, because man is created in the image of God. You see that, right? That even if it's accidental, we are to recognize the gravity of it. So many times today we talk about accidental killing or self-defense, and it is as if nothing has happened. It should never be that to us. We, out of all the people upon the face of the earth, understand that when a human being dies in an untimely fashion, that it is indeed a tragedy. It is a tragedy that makes this man leave his former life. His life is over. He has to go to a city not his own and try to eke out a living there not his own, leave his inheritance behind because he accidentally killed a man. And then at the death of the high priest, he is allowed to go back, because at the death of the high priest, that is, if you will, the overturning of an era. Right? It's the overturning of an era. He's allowed to go home. Talks about, you know, and what that does is that references to our thinking that you know, the moral law of God and the relationship that the priest had to the law of God, that it is indeed a striking at the nature of God. You remember what God said to Noah when he sent him out of the ark in Genesis 9:6. You remember what he said? Whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. So whenever, even an accidental death, or even a death, you know, by self-defense, it is still a travesty. It is still a striking against the nature of God, the image of God in man. You remember that even an animal that rose up against a man was to be put to death. But I want to apply this in a new covenant fashion. I want to apply this. What do you think was the mindset of the man who's chopping away with an axe? Whoosh. Whoosh. And there goes the axe head, and he knows his brother standing behind him, and he turns just in time to see that axe head strike him in the head, and his brother falls before him. What is his mindset immediately? I better get me to the city of refuge. Right? He drops what he's doing. He leaves his life behind, and he flees to the city of refuge for protection from the slayer. Right? Fleeing for protection from the slayer, because he senses, we say in our day, we feel, he understands the weight of the guilt that presses upon him. And any dilly-dally puts him in greater danger. Oh, that we would feel that way about our sins today. That we would feel the weight of the guilt of our sins and the damage and the danger that we're in every time that we sin, so that we would be driven to flee to the city of refuge, to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ, to ask Him for forgiveness and repentance, and to turn from that wickedness, that the slayer catch us not unawares. See, that's what this is designed to teach us. It is designed to teach us that even in sins of ignorance, even when we didn't really mean it, we are to flee to Christ. And we are to understand the press, the urgency that is required of those who would repent of their sins. Listen, and hear me well. Leisurely repentance is not repentance at all. Leisurely repentance says, God will not do good nor evil. All things continue the way they have since the beginning of time. Do not be satisfied with repenting at your leisure. You know not when the slayer will come. What did Jesus tell his disciples? Who is that good and faithful servant that will be found ready when his Lord comes? Instead of what? Abusing the privilege of being a servant. Instead of abusing the privilege of being a steward. Instead of abusing the privilege and being complacent. What will happen to that complacent steward when the Lord returns? You know what he said. The Lord said that his master will come at an hour that he knows not and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint his portion with the unbelievers. What did the man think when the axe helve let go of the axe head and it struck his brother so that he died? There was an urgency. to get him to the city of refuge. Brothers and sisters, when you sin, and when that is brought to your attention, what is your reaction? Is your reaction to shoot the messenger that brought it to you? Is your reaction complacency? Is your reaction sloth? I'll repent when I'm ready to repent. Do you have sins that you're keeping as your little darlings close to your bosom? And you'll repent of them when you're ready to repent? What the Lord says is that if you have those little darlings and you're keeping them close, that He'll come in a day when you know not. The solution is to flee. The solution is to flee those things to the city of refuge. The solution is not any longer to entertain sin, but to flee to the city of refuge, to feel the press of the slayer, and to flee for forgiveness to Christ, to be received into the gates of refuge city. That is our only hope. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in the singing of psalms, and let's sing Psalm 86.